Can I take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 11? John chapter 11. We had a break last week when Tim McCallum was here and gave us an update on his ministry as missionary to Japan. But 2 weeks ago, we went through the first 16 verses of John chapter 11. We talked about the greater need. Jesus needs to raise you spiritually more than to heal you physically. He is in the last days of his earthly ministry. He's about 3 months from the cross. And so we see in verses 1 to 3, way of review, a specific someone. Lazarus is sick. Now, he loves Lazarus. He loves Mary. He loves Martha. It's a special family to Christ. He has been in their home. There's a special request to come before it's too late in their minds and pray and heal Lazarus. And there's a special reason, because Christ loves him. Christ loves all of us. He wants the best for all of us. There's a specific sickness that Lazarus had. The symptoms that were involved are from God's perspective. It is not unto death, although Lazarus dies. And it's for the glory of God, and we're going to see that again tonight. It's the same reason why the man that was blind from birth was healed, for the glory of God. The special declaration was made in verse 5, and the specific delay, he waited 2 more days before he went and started going that, and then basically said, Lazarus is dead. There's a specific trip. This is the last time that Christ will go into the Jerusalem area. He will not return. He's going to be in that area. And the next time he returns, he'll be in glory. Amen. He'll be crucified on the cross. Negative recollection. The disciples are going, wait a second, the Jews are out to kill you. Jesus knew that. And they were saying, why would we want to go into danger? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil, for thou art with me. My rod and my staff, they comfort me. And with necessary resolve, Christ said, we will go now to him. And the needed reasons? Why did Christ go to do this? To refine the disciples' thinking. They were thinking too much in the physical and not the spiritual. They were thinking too much of themselves and not of others. To revive Lazarus, which we will get tonight, and then to reveal himself to the disciples as being the resurrection and the life. And so all the disciples just jumped on board, and they were happy that they were going to Jerusalem. They said, well, we're going to go die with him. And that's what Thomas said as in verse 16. So that's where we are. Tonight, we are going to cover verses 17 through 46 of this chapter. So it'll be the second installment of chapter 11. And its title, the message tonight, is Raising the Dead. Raising the Dead. Difficult trials reveal the level of our faith. And that's the main point to get tonight. Difficult trials reveal the level of our faith. And there's 3 points tonight. The first one is found in verses 17 through 29. And there are 4 tests of faith that we see as Christ gets to Bethany. The first test of faith is what happens when we feel that God is not quick enough to answer a prayer. And oftentimes we want God to come in and intervene and immediately solve something. What happens in those times where we have to wait? The Bible says in Psalm 37, all the way through the Psalm, that we're supposed to wait on the Lord. God's got this in His timing. And so in verses 17 through 20, we see what's going on. It says, when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. So Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, about 2 miles. 2 miles from the Bethlehem, from the Jerusalem gate. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. It is evident that Martha and Mary and Lazarus were a fairly well-to-do family. First of all, they had a cave in which to bury someone. That tells that they had some sort of social status. When we see the Jews and capitalized, these are religious leaders. So they were not only known in Bethlehem, they were also known in Jerusalem. And these people were coming to mourn the death of Lazarus. And then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. You know, we're going to find out here in a minute how Martha feels about this. But the big issue here is, it's a test of faith when God doesn't operate on our timeline. She's already been disappointed because Christ waited after she sent someone specifically to get him, to bring him back. And Christ delayed his coming. And so sometimes when God doesn't work fast enough, we feel that God doesn't care. We feel that God doesn't want to do things the way we want to do it. And that may be true, but it's a test of faith. How we respond to things like this shows what our faith is. What is the fruit? What is one of the fruits of the Spirit? Long suffering. Perseverance. We all need those traits. That is the trait of a good soldier of Christ. So the first test of faith that Mary and Martha have to go through is the fact that God didn't get there. Christ didn't get there fast enough for them. That's the first problem. The second problem is found in verses 21 through 24. Sometimes we see an answer and it's not in our mind complete. We don't think that God's doing enough for our effort. Once again, this is an issue of, it's not our way. It wasn't in Martha's timetable. So she's upset about that. It's not in Martha's idea of what she wanted Christ to do. And there's a different plan that Christ had here. And sometimes we have a test of faith when we feel that God's not responding in the appropriate manner that we feel He needs to. And in verses 21 to 22, we don't see Him in action the way that Martha thought. It says here in these two verses, it says, "Then said Martha unto Jesus." And we get it right here. "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Who made her God? That's really it. See, if you'd done what I say, God, Christ, none of this would happen. Have we ever been like that before? Have we ever talked to God like that before? That's a test of faith. It's a test of surrender and submission to God's will. It said, but she says this. It says, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Now, Christ is going to do something that she did not think possible. No one had ever been raised from the dead after 4 days. Christ had already raised people from the dead, but they had been dead a matter of hours, or at the most, a day. And so this is something that's going to go beyond what she comprehends. That's a test of faith too. Amen. When we think God needs to go our way, but God's got something different in mind. So it's a test of faith that we need to persevere when the answer and when God doesn't work fast enough. It's a test of faith when we feel that God's not doing enough in the situation, in His actions, and also in His Word. Also in His Word. In verses 23 and 24, Jesus said, saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Now, unless you were a Sadducee, they thought that there would be a resurrection. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Resurrection and the promise of resurrection is nothing new. It was prophesied in Daniel. In Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And look at verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So, there's other passages in the Old Testament that talk about resurrection. But it's talking about it in the long term. It's talking about it in the prophetic term. Christ says something to her. He says, your brother will rise. No. I'm not talking about the end time, Jesus. What are you going to do now? And sometimes a promise may not be enough. We feel it's not enough. It's just words. A lot of times we think it's just empty words. Martha just lost her brother. She wants him back. She has grief. And she says, Jesus, if you had been here, none of this would have happened. Her faith is going to have to be tested. And Christ tells her scripture, but it really doesn't help her any. Haven't we been there? Haven't we been there? Where someone will come and give you a verse of encouragement, try to encourage it, and it doesn't, has no effect because we just don't have faith in it. It's a test of faith. So we have a test of faith when we feel God's not working quick enough. We have a test of faith when we don't think God's doing enough, either in His actions or basically what we're told through God's Word may not be enough. We have to go beyond that. Thirdly, verses 25 and 27, it's a test of faith when God is not known enough. You know, some people give up on God just because they don't know better. We stay baby Christians. We don't grow in our faith. Peter wrote, he said, add to your what? Faith. And all these other things. Faith maketh not ashamed. There are things here. And so in verses 25 and 27, Jesus saith unto her, now here's one of the five I ams that's in John. I am. And we've gone down through what this I am is. It's word name for God. It's what Moses was said. You know, who are you? I am that I am, said you. So he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then Jesus gets right down into where she is. And she says, do you really believe this? Do you believe this? Believest thou this? You know, Christ had already asked his disciples some time earlier, but who do you think I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living. You are the Messiah. And so now, this test of faith is to reveal to Martha and to Mary and to Lazarus and to everybody else in the crowd that day who Jesus really is. See, our faith gets bigger when we understand who God really is. Mm-hmm. How much He really does. Mm-hmm. His timeline. And she says, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. So now she comes and she says, okay, I understand who you are. You are the Messiah. But you know something? Just knowing something doesn't necessarily help when your brother's in the grave. But Christ is about ready to say, well, watch this. He's about ready to do something. So that's the third test. When we feel when God is not known enough in our lives. If you never read God's word, your faith will be small.
Right.
Your faith will be small. The more we read God's word, the more we see others.
Mm-hmm.
Fourthly, it's a test of faith when we do not feel God's presence enough. Martha is on the road meeting Jesus. She's not in the house. Jesus hasn't even made it to the house yet. And she's waiting out there on the road. But where's Mary? She's in the house. She's in the house. And sometimes we don't see God work because we're in the wrong spot. We're not where Jesus is, but we're in the house. And so in verses 28 and 29, it says, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come, and what? Calleth for thee. God is calling us to come to His presence. God is calling us to come and hear His word. God is calling us to come and see His plan. God is calling us in His time. God is calling us on His effort. God is calling us all this time.
Mm-hmm.
He's calling for us. He calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto Him. So in these first couple of verses here, we see these tests of faith that's running in the background here. We know what's going to happen, but there's a lot more in here than just Lazarus being raised from the dead. There's an issue. You're not here quick enough. You're not doing the right thing. Because we thought that all you do is heal people. Okay? And sometimes we limit God. And we need to know more about God and see Him as He truly is, and then need to be in His presence. In verses 30 through 37, there are four misconceptions of all those that are in the house and in that area of the dead. So, Martha meets Jesus on the road. Everybody's back at the house mourning. Mary finds out that Jesus is on the road because Martha comes to tell her. And Mary rushes out. There's a misconception on Mary's departure. In verses 30 through 31, it says, now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met Him. The Jews, capital J, the religious leaders, then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her. You know something? They couldn't provide any comfort because they didn't know God. They're the ones that should have all the answers. But they can't provide comfort. We get comfort from God's word. We get comfort from the Spirit. We get comfort from the truth. When they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth to the grave to weep there. No. She's going to Jesus.
Amen.
And folks, people think that when we run around, we're just running around. No, we need to show them that we're running to Jesus.
Amen.
And so this first misconception of as Mary's departure, they think she's going to go to the grave to mourn, but in reality, she's going to go to the resurrection of life. Now, Mary was the one that sat at Jesus' feet when Martha was all busy doing all this other stuff. And Jesus said, she's chosen the good part. And Martha, why are you worried about all this stuff? So, Mary should have known better, right? She should have known better. Verse 32, 33. Okay, there's a misconception on Mary's part of Christ's plan. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. That's a good place to start, folks. Amen. At the feet of Jesus. And what does she say? Saying to him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. You caused this, God, because you weren't here. Think about it. That's what that means. You didn't get here fast enough. You didn't get here quick enough. You didn't do what we expected you to do. And Lazarus is dead. We know that you're the great healer. But we don't see him as the life. So she says the exact same thing that Martha says. Now, how do you think Jesus is receiving this? Okay? When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Folks, lack of faith, lack of trust in God, troubles him. Because we should know better.
Amen.
We should know better. Mary specifically, she's the one that sat at his feet. She should have known better. But she's saying the exact same thing that everybody else in the crowd said. Where's the difference in faith? So there's a misconception of the situation when Mary leaves very quickly. They think she's going to go out to mourn, but she's actually going to Christ. Misconception when Mary gets to Christ because she says, you could have prevented this, Jesus, if you'd just been here. We wouldn't have to go through all this process, all this opportunity to increase faith, all this opportunity to get closer to God,
Amen.
All this opportunity to believe in your word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul writes this. He says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Mary and Martha had no hope. Their hope was dashed when Jesus didn't come quick enough. Their hope was dashed when Lazarus died instead of him being healed. The words that they know about the scripture wasn't doing much for them. Christ is showing this is something that you really need to learn about, but it's not being, it's not registering yet. It's not registering. So now Christ is what? Verse says he was troubled. He's groaning. The translation for that word means to, it's like there's an admonition coming. It's welling up inside. There's something, there's a big truth here that you're missing the point on. And he just wants to get it through. You know, sometimes it's like, just get it through your big, thick skull. We've been there, right? There's a misconception of Christ's reaction. In verses 34 and 36, it said, where did he lay him? Now, he knew, okay? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And now we have the shortest verse of the Bible. Jesus wept. And everybody here says, oh, he loved him. Verse 36. And then said the what? Jews, the religious people that can't give any comfort and have no hope in themselves, that don't know the truth, that's been criticizing Jesus, says, behold how he loved him. That's true. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Here is love. God is love. That's not why Jesus is crying. Jesus is crying because of the lack of faith.
Amen.
The same thing that the disciples in the boat when the waves are coming in and Jesus is asleep and saying, Jesus, we're going to perish, when Christ said, we're going to go to the other side. It upset him. It troubled him. Because we didn't have faith. Or when they were walking on water, and Peter was walking on water, and he took his eyes off Christ and fell in the water and said, save me! And what he says, oh ye of what? Little faith. When he couldn't cast the demon out of the lunatic son after they came down out of the Mount of Transfiguration, where's your faith? That's what troubles God. He looks down in our hearts, and he looks down in our churches, and he looks down in our lives, and he looks for faith. Will we find faith on earth? If not, it troubles them. Okay? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 10. Paul's writing about the experiences of Israel had in the wilderness. And they should have figured it out. That God was going to get them to the promised land. Oh, we're going to die of thirst in the wilderness. Oh, we're going to die of hunger in the wilderness. Oh, we're going to die of these enemies in the wilderness. Oh, we're just going to die. Not understanding God's promise. He says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation. And said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Christ's reaction is, you all have no faith. You want me to serve you your way instead of serving me my way.
Amen.
Here's another reason. In verse 37, there's a misconception of the situation in Christ's power. This is another reason why he was grieved and troubled. In verse 37 it says, and some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind? Now they're going back to John chapter 9. The guy that was born blind. So they're actually using an example that Christ did. Have caused that even this man should not have died. So everybody's on board with this thought. Jesus is only a healer. Okay? Ignoring Jairus' daughter, the centurion's servant, all that other stuff. You think that all he can do is heal. Folks, he's life.
Amen.
Christ is life. And he's going to prove it right here. In verses 38 through 46, we see the reasons for this whole situation. The first one is found in verses 38 and 30. To see the glory of God. Verses 38 through 39, we see Christ's intensity here. It says, Jesus therefore again, what? Groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. They didn't dig graves like we dig graves. When they found a cave, and they cut out some platforms, put family members in there, and level spots so they could lay their loved ones in there. And then they put a stone on front of it. And that's how they kept the animals from going in there and eating the dead bodies, and also how they kept robbers away. There was a cave and a stone was laid upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. You know, sometimes we have to take away the impediment for God to work in our life. So they're standing outside. There's a dead body in there. Now, Christ could have said to move and it would have moved. But that's for later. That's not for now. That's not for now. It says, take ye away the stone, Martha. Martha, the sister of him that was dead. said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. The Jews did not embalm bodies. All they did was they just took the dead body, they wrapped it in linen, and after each layer of wrapping, they put in spices to kind of cover the stink. And it was loosely wrapped. And so, there's the smell of death all around when they open up that tomb. Christ's intensity, though, he's groaning in himself because there's lack of faith there. Christ's intent found in verse 40. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shalt see the glory of God? Christ is basically saying, watch this. You call me the Messiah, watch what's going to happen right now. You need to roll away the stone off your eyes so you can hear. You need to take the stone out of your ears so you can see. You need to take the stone out of your ears so you can hear. You need to take the stony parts out of your heart so your heart is soft so you can receive what I'm about ready to do. Amen. Now here's the interesting thing. Jesus has to repeat himself. He already told her, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He knows what he's going to do. But they don't get it. And so he says it again. When God keeps on saying the same thing over and over again, we gotta listen. He said, I said this to you. Just believe. That if thou wouldst what? Believe, you should see the glory of God. So here's a very important principle. You want to see the glory of God? You better believe.
Amen.
You better have faith. Don't think that you can go through your life faithless, not obeying God's word, not listening to the Holy Spirit, and expect to see the glory of God. It's not going to happen.
Amen.
So the first reason the situation is to see the glory of God. We see Christ's intensity, we see his intent. In verses 41 through 42, the second reason, okay? The second reason is to see Christ's relationship with God. In chapter 10, Christ has already told everybody that I and my Father are one. He's been praying ostensibly to the crowd to show that he has a direct connection with God the Father. When he was baptized, we heard God the Father's voice. We saw the Holy Spirit come down as a dove. So the first thing is to show how intimate the relationship between Christ, God the Son, and God the Father is. Verse 41 says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Christ lived a life in constant relationship with God the Father because he's God. But he's showing us here that even in the worst times that we should lift up our eyes to the hills from which cometh our help. We should lift up our eyes to God and understand that God hears us all the time. We need an intimate relationship with God. And so we see this intimacy here. Verse 42, it's inseparable. Christ is as much God the Father as God the Father is God the Son. It's really all, they're all God. In verse 42, it says, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it. What's the problem with all the people in the crowd? No faith. no belief. Not even Martha and Mary, who Christ actually went into their house, were believing. They're saying, you're not getting here fast enough. You didn't do what we wanted you to do. Don't tell us these words that's going to happen something in the future. We want something happening now. But stand by as I said it, that they may what? Believe that thou hast sent me. Now Christ does not do this in a vacuum. He doesn't do this like with Jairus' daughter, where he brings mom and dad into the room and raises her from the dead. This is an outward show of God's power. In a position where it was hopeless. Lazarus had been so dead that he stunk. Folks, our sin in our lives causes us to be dead. And the sin in our lives stinks to God.
Amen.
Amen.
And it grieves God.
Amen.
It's because we don't have faith that we go out and we do this. Lastly, the reason for the situation is to see the power of the Word of God. You know, Christ wasn't like some of these so-called faith healers today. He didn't go in slapping. He didn't do any sort of hocus pocus. He spoke the word. He's got creation power. He's got recreation power.
Amen.
He can give you a new birth, a new start. There's the call of verse 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. It wasn't because Lazarus was dead. He wanted everybody in the crowd to hear him. I suspect that it rang and echoed across the valley. And you know, one day, for us, we're going to hear a voice. It's going to cry out, come up hither. And it's going to ring across the world. And all who are listening for it will hear.
Amen.
And will be with him in the air.
Amen.
So, we see the call here. And here's the other thing about this call. It was specific. It wasn't a general thing. It was Lazarus. God calls each and every one of us by name. He has something to do in our life by name.
Amen.
He wants to correct the deadness in our life by name and make us individual relationship with him. The command in verse 44. And he that was dead came forth,
amen,
bound hand and foot. Now, you're talking about a horror movie. You know, I've seen you've seen these mummy movies and everything else. This is the real thing, man. The dead has come back to life. And he's, because the grave clothes are so loosely wound, he's not floating out. He's coming out. See, the Holy Spirit quickens us from death. We're not supposed to be entangled again in bondage. And so this issue here says, he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, but God sets him free. Sets him free. And his face was bound about with a napkin, and the napkin's taken off, and he sees Christ. The first thing he sees is Christ!
Amen.
Face to face. Jesus said unto them, loose him. Let him go.
Amen.
Let him go. See, those people had to obey God to unwrap him. Lastly, verses 45 and 46, we see the consequences. Then many of the Jews, remember who they are? They're the religious leaders. They were there. They saw it. They just didn't hear about it. They saw this. It says, and many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. And the rest of this chapter talks about Caiaphas and them saying, hey, if we don't take Jesus out of the way, we're going to lose our position. We're going to lose our political clout. We're going to lose our place in this nation. We're going to lose the whole thing. Romans is going to knock us off. But that's next week. That's next week. So the issue here is that when you see the power of God work, you have a choice. You have a choice to believe or a choice to deny. It still happened. It's still truth. And you can't deny the truth because the truth is always truth.
Mm-hmm.
Does your faith need reviving tonight? That's the question. Do you need to be taken out of your death of sin and to be saved and be quickened by the Holy Spirit through salvation tonight? Jesus Christ, God's Son, He's on His way. We're now a couple of months from the crucifixion. It's happening very quickly. Christ said, I have this power, and you're going to see it, and I'm going to demonstrate it to you. Okay? On the cross.
Amen.
Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts and help us, Lord, just to follow you. Lord, increase our faith. Help us, Lord, to not see things our way, Lord, and make you do those, but see things your way and just have faith that you will do it.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that you just help us, Lord, to have the right conceptions about you. And Father, to see your purpose in our life, Lord, see your purpose in all the situations we go through in our life. Lord, be with us time of invitation. Have your Holy Spirit have full reign.
Yes.
We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.